Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Bethel Brandon Church Online. We are glad that you're here. It has been quite a week, don't you think? I just wanted to start by saying, hey, we're praying for you. We're praying for everybody in this whole coronavirus outbreak. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to seek avenues. Since we're not able to meet together regularly or like we would, we're trying to seek whatever creative avenues that we can to somehow reach out and somehow minister to you. And this is kind of important to us. And so we're just getting better at it every day. And I'm glad that we're able to at least keep contact, if not person to person, at least online, and allow an opportunity where we can just minister as a Bethel family. So one of the things that we're going to be doing, and if you don't have Right Now Media, you need to get it. By contacting the church, we'll just get your email and we'll get you involved with that. There's lots of stuff that you can look at, lots of Bible studies, lots of things for your children. So if you don't have that, then please contact the church. We're going to let you know a number of things. Starting Monday, we're going to be starting to do some e-devotionals online through the church. We're also going to be we're going to be continuing our call to prayer from Monday to Thursday at the church. The church will be open as long as we can keep it open, because we want to be able to somehow minister to you. Pastor Glenn is going to be looking at ways that we can help as a community. I know a number of you are at home and saying, I know that there's some people who are shut in, and I know that there's some people that might be seniors among us that might need help, and I want to help. And so we're trying to find those avenues and best be able to serve. This is the time that we need to be serving. This is the time where we have an opportunity to make a positive impact in our community. And I know Pastor Glenn has been working to find avenues to make it easy for us to live out our faith during this time. Also, Pastor Charles is busy. He's behind the camera right now, and he's doing a number of things on social media, and he's extremely busy, and we're just trying to do everything we can to connect to you at this time. Me, I'm just here to look good. No, I guess I am helping a little bit as well. We're helping in the whole process. As a matter of fact, as a team, we're doing everything we can to effectively minister to you and to reach out to the community. At this time, Pastor Stephen with Devoted Ministry is also trying to do everything he can to keep in contact with your children and minister to your kids. Pastor Bryce and Bryson are helping with junior high and with youth. So we're just trying to do it. This is kind of uncharted water, and we're kind of learning as we go, and we're getting better at it. And so I'm hoping that you can be blessed and that you can be ministered to. And we're doing everything we can to keep in contact with the elders. As a matter of fact, everyone in the church, we're going to try and do everything we can to do the best that we can to be a light, to be the link, and to be the love of Christ to everybody who is out there. Now, a number of people have been asking, how do I give? And how is the church going to be financially through this whole thing? This is the time when we are wanting to minister the most, and yet the main time that we're able to take up offerings and things like that, we're not able to do that. Well, we're hoping to get a mailbox outside of the church for those people who want to hand off their tithes at the church. Can do that, or you can just come by the church, or there's the debit machine that you can come by the church and do that. But most of it, our most effective way for us during this time is online giving. You can check the website. I know that there are e-transfers and ways that you can give through e-transferring, and there's a text to give, and there's an app that you can use as well. There's a whole bunch of ways, but I just want to say thank you for those who are helping and giving and maintaining to help with tithes and offerings. We just need those so that we're able to minister. And so I thought I would just add that blurb in there as we continue to do everything to minister to people. So we are completing a series which is called The Power of a Moment. And as I have lived through this week, there was a story that came to light to me. I gave it at the annual business meeting last year. It is one of my favorite stories. It's about an individual whose name is Larry Walters. And in 1982, in July, Larry Walters was kind of bored. He's always wanted to fly, but I think he was just a truck driver, and there were certain things that kept him from doing that. And so he came up with this bright idea. What he said was, you know, I can take a whole bunch of weather balloons from the Army surplus store, and maybe I can just kind of MacGyver my way into the air and float through the neighborhood, take some pictures. It'll be a lot of fun. And so what he does is he gathers up 45 weather balloons, fills them up, and he attaches them to his lawn chair in his backyard. And so they set it up. He has a few friends help him out. And so he puts on a parachute, and he also has a CB radio. He has his pellet gun. He has a couple of sandwiches and a few beers. This is what he has. And so the idea is to kind of cruise around a little bit. But when his friends all of a sudden released the ropes for him to go into the air, he ends up traveling 16,000 feet into the air. 16,000. Could you just imagine that in a lawn chair, taped to your lawn chair, 16,000 feet in the air? Now, I think he was in San Pedro at the time, but he drifts into the Los Angeles airspace and is in violation of all kinds of air codes. Airplanes are saying there's something in the air. We don't know what it is. He's trying to talk to people on a CB radio. And so the idea is to take that pellet gun and to start shooting some of those balloons so that he will slowly go down. And in that process, apparently what happens is he drops the pellet gun. And so he is stuck there. Now, I'm not too sure as to what and how things had transpired from there. But it appears that maybe the air was slowly from that altitude released, and he slowly comes down, catches himself electrical lines, and he gets himself tied up into that, and he's able to get low enough to the ground that he can somehow climb down, and he meets the Long Beach police, who arrest him for being an idiot. Really, I think that's probably charged. Is there a charge for being an idiot? There's probably not a charge for being an idiot, because there'd be a lot of people. Never mind. So here's the key of the story. As reporters gathered around him and said, "Why on earth would you do something like that?" His answer was straightforward, was this: "Well, you can't just sit there." What an interesting response, because I think that that is true for us right now. For those of you who might be in your home, and you have been in your home with your kids for a few days now, and you're not too sure what to do, you're not too sure what the future holds and what's going on, what's taking place. And so the challenge is out there. You can't just sit there. I think that there is something that God is wanting for us to do. I think that there is a voice which is calling out to us today. I think it was Franklin Roosevelt who said, you know, if you want to get to a port, you actually have to sail. You can't sit there with your anchor sitting there, and you can't drift there. You just won't get there. If you want to get to point A to point B, you're going to have to set sail. You're going to have to somehow take a chance and brave the waves and the storm and everything that's going on. I remember one of the key phrases of one of the classic movies of our time, which was the Shawshank Redemption. And Andy Dufresne says to his friend Red at the end of the movie, he says, "Red, you either got to get busy living or get busy dying." And you know what? I want to live. I want to thrive. I want to somehow make a difference. And I think that God has created us to be able to live. And so we're talking about the power of a moment and how important that is. And the prayer is this: God, make us a church of faith. Help us not to be afraid to step out. Help us to live as you have called us to live. And this is very important for our time. You know, we're talking about the power of a moment. And the one phrase that I have made in every one of the messages has been this: you can't download a moment. You actually need to trust in God for that time. We had a prophecy conference which Fire and Oil Ministries had put out, and as I was sitting in there, I realized all these people are just looking for something genuine. We're looking for a power of a moment. People are starving to experience something real. And I don't really care what your spiritual position is. You can be Christian. You can be agnostic. You can be an atheist. I still believe that that rings true. I think that people are looking to experience something genuine, something real. Some people don't even realize that. And I think that's part of our hardwiring. And I believe that powerful moments happen to you and they happen to me. They happen corporately as well. I believe that churches have what you would call a power of a moment. And we've talked about a watershed moment. Jacob wrestling with God, that was a watershed moment. We had the healing moment, the Acts chapter 3, the very first miracle that is experienced by the New Testament church, a guy at the beautiful gate. There's a miraculous moment where God somehow supernaturally moves, does the miraculous in our midst, and we long to see that take place. Last week we talked about the rise up moment. And if you want, you can. I'm sure that you can still download or view that message from last Sunday. It was our first online video message. That one centers around what was called the Mordecai question. It had to do with Esther, and Mordecai challenges her and says, "Hey, perhaps you were born for such a time as this." And the rise up moment is that point. There is a point in time in history where God says, you need to rise up. This is a key moment. You need to take advantage of the key moment. And so there are times when God calls you to rise up and God calls the church to rise up. And these are all important moments. But let me ask you today, what about the faith moment? What is the faith moment? I wrote down the faith moment as this. Faith moment is when you are called upon to believe God for something which extends past your own personal strength or resources. It is that time or times when God asks or requires you to believe past your own ability and your own capability. Faith moment. Faith moment is something which is extremely important. It's important because it is the fertile soil for the miracle to take place. If you're looking for a powerful moment, it happens when you are exercising a faith moment. And I believe that every church that has been successful, every church that has gone out and has fulfilled the mandate that God has wanted them to, have had faith moments. You know, if you don't have those moments where you need God to strengthen you and be with you, then you don't need God. And so every church, I think, experiences a faith moment. I think every marriage experiences a faith moment. Every single day of your marriage probably has not been filled of you trouncing through the meadow with little flowers kind of sprinkling down, running towards your wife and embracing and having your kids kind of join you in that embrace. You know, hey, come on. Every family probably has had that moment where you've cried out to God and said, you know, God, we don't have the resources. What are we going to do about our son? What are we going to do about our daughter? God, what is it? What is the actions that I take? I'm in over my head, God, and I'm not too sure what to do. Every individual faces a faith moment. If you're here and if you're listening to this and you own a business and you're saying, you know what, when I started this business, I wanted to glorify God. I'll just tell you right now, there will be faith moments. There will be times where you'll have to extend yourself and times when you're going to have to let go and allow God to somehow minister and to move. And so it is imperative that everybody step out in faith. If you love Jesus with all of your heart, you have to have a faith moment. And it's uncomfortable and we don't like it. We're out of control and there are a lot of risks. But at the same time, there's nothing more exhilarating in your life. The best times, the most memorable times in your life will be those times when you're in the midst and work through a faith moment. It's true. The best comparison that I can make is to the differences between going to a amusement park and riding on the merry-go-round or riding on the roller coaster. There's a reason why there's a lineup at the roller coaster and not really a big lineup on the merry-go-round. Time to take chances, time to be exhilarated by the fact that perhaps you don't have control. And everybody needs to experience a pride or a faith moment for a number of reasons. One reason that we have to have faith moments is because if you don't have a faith moment, you just become prideful. You eventually begin to think, well, if it's going to be, it's going to be because of me. Look what I've done. Look at how things have progressed the way it is. And if you never, ever extend yourself past the impossible and happening in your life, you begin to think that it's because of you. If there's one thing, folks, if there's one thing that this this COVID-19 virus has shown us is this: you're not in control. Really, stop and think of what has happened over the last week and what your life was like 2 weeks ago and what your life is like now because of a bug that has kind of slipped through and has affected the whole world. You are not in control. Please don't fool yourself into thinking that you're in control. You need faith moments, not just because you become prideful, but because you atrophy. Your muscles don't get exercised. You become kind of lazy. You become like a spiritual couch potato if you never, ever experience a faith moment. You never, ever grow up. You never, ever experience the joy of advancing to the next level. There was a video that I was going to show when I preached a sermon, and perhaps we can get it as an addition to the sermon here this morning. It's called Kindergarten Faith. If you get a chance to see it, you will enjoy it. But it just talks about the fact, if all you're doing is staying in kindergarten, then you never ever grow up to be the person that God wants you to be. It's something which is huge. The greatest times in life are when you are up against something that surpasses you.
Good morning, Reagan. Good morning. Good morning, Madison. Good morning, Johanna. Good morning, Johnny.
People are always asking me why. Why do the same thing every year? Why not move on? But I say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Johnny?
Present.
I'm comfortable. I know the routine.
United States of America. And to the Republic.
And I don't want to brag, but I'm pretty popular around here. I do really well in sports.
No, not my house.
Well, I'm just very successful here. Why would I go and mess that up by graduating?
A B.
Boat.
I mean, in the first grade, I may not know all the answers.
D. Dog. E.
The hours are longer. I hear they don't even have nap time. I mean, I just don't see the upside. Then first grade leads to second grade, second to third.
It's really good.
Then you're in high school reading boring books with no pictures.
Three, four, five.
But he was still hungry.
Next thing you know, people expect you to get a job and give up summer vacation. No, sir. I think I've found my niche. Thank you very much. Home sweet kindergarten. Besides, I mean, what if I failed first grade? How humiliating would that be? Nope, just don't think I could handle that kind of embarrassment.
I-O-U, and sometimes letter Y, too.
That was not a good choice. Very disappointed.
And this COVID-19 thing, this coronavirus thing, we take a look at it and say, well, this is the worst thing. You know what? This coronavirus may prove to be the best thing to happen to us. I think it may be the time that we arise. It may be the time where God says, okay, trust in me. You're up against this. You're not too sure what's happening. Trust in me. Take the faith, go with it, and see what God. And then begin to see for God for who he really is. You begin to see that I have to trust in him. I got to walk with him every day. I've got to grow in faith. It's only when that happens that you begin to see the miraculous. You will never see a miracle unless you are in a position where you need to see his power flow. And so I think this is important as we begin to talk about the power of a moment in a series. I wasn't even going to preach this series, but I think that there's something that is important about talking about this at this particular time. And here's the thing as well about faith moments. A lot of times they're not planned. A lot of times you are thrust into a faith moment. This week, you have probably been thrust into a faith moment. 1 month ago, we were doing a film festival. There was no sign of all of this happening and taking place. And all of a sudden, we're up against something which is very serious. And we don't ever want to be in a place where we're not in control, but God many times will put us in a place where we're not in control. You may ask the question, God, is it possible to operate in faith and never ever be out of control? Probably not. And so It's time for us to act out in faith. It's time for us to be vulnerable to God. It's time to be in continual dependence on God, to trust in God while walking with God. And this is important. Hebrews talks about it. Ever read Hebrews chapter 11? For those of you, and I'm not too sure to what advancement you are in your faith as I'm speaking out to everyone who might be listening. But Hebrews chapter 11 is a huge chapter, which is called the Hall of Faith. It talks about faith in general and all the things that are taking place in terms of throughout the scriptures, how God has moved in faith moments that had happened in people's lives. But there's some key verses there. One being Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and it basically says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." King James Version says those who diligently seek him. Like, there's some key things there. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that whole process of struggling with God through something is the times when you're actually pleasing him. The time when God rewards those times. And so they're necessary. They have to be there. And so that whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 mentions some huge things. It talks about times where people stood up and miraculous things took place, and we really celebrate those. But if you read on in that chapter, there are a number of times where it says, well, a lot of people, they kind of lost their homes and they slept in holes in the grounds, and some of them never, ever actually saw the promise that God had given them. They kind of had to watch it from afar. And you know, the other important passage of scripture in there is verse 13. If you read it in Hebrews chapter 11, it says this: all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. Basically, what they said is, this isn't our home. We kind of have an eternal dwelling. And for that, faith operates out of that thing. The key many times is that they had a different perspective. If you are continually operating from a container which is not eternal, you'll be continually stressed out. I saw this kind of done one time is that sometimes if your container, if what you do to deal with stress and cope has to do with the cup, and you say this is your life and all that's happened, and hopefully you can kind of see the water line in there, and we kind of are always dealing with a certain level of stress and things that we're handling, taking care of the kids, working at our job, helping out in church or whatever the case may be. And so what happens is one day someone says something to you and it really bothers you, and that kind of happens up, and then what takes place after that is that there's an experience which happens and the finances are a little bit tight, and then you have another occurrence where there's a problem with your kids and you're like this, and then all of a sudden you find out I might have the coronavirus. And so what happens is you end up going to the point where it spills over. You see, if you have a container which is kind of based on this world and everything that's happened, then you'll continually be spilling over. You won't be able to cope with that. But what if you had a container which is eternal? Well, it doesn't mean that the stressful events are not going to happen. It just means that the container is something which is so good, so big, that if you come up against these things, it doesn't really matter. This is why the people throughout the scriptures had faith to operate, because their frame of reference was an eternal one. And so a faith moment is only necessary if you can get yourself to a heart level to believe that and see that happen and take place. So the greatest days in your life, the greatest opportunities are going to be when you're up over your head, and God will always meet you at your level of faith. If you have a life which is lived by toe dipped in the water faith, then you will live a toe dipped in the water life. And so scriptures are fulfilled with faith moments. They're filled there. Issues of David and Goliath and Elijah and the prophets of Baal and Elisha with the woman and Gideon and Moses with the Egyptians. Those are all faith moments. But if I could share one today that could kind of give you an idea of what a faith moment looks like and how we operate in them, it would be great. It's found in Judges chapter 4. has to do with Deborah, the judges, and what was happening at that particular time. So I'm just going to read the passage, and I'm going to kind of give you some factors which are part of a faith moment, okay? Judges chapter 4, hopefully you have your Bible with you, or you have your app with your Bible, your favorite Bible version. And this is what it says. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, now that Ehud was dead. And so the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, and who reigned in Hazor, and Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Harosheth Hagim. Because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried out to the Lord for help. Now Deborah, a prophet, a wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held her court near the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went up to her to have her dispute settled. And so she sent for Barak, son of Abinoam of Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men from Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, and his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give them into your hands." I'm going to go on to verse 14 and says, "Then Deborah said to Barak, 'Go, this is the day that God has given Sisera into your hands. Has the Lord not gone ahead of you?' So Barak went to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all of his armies by the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. And Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagim. And all Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left." I'll stop there. Now, in this story, I'm leaving a lot of details out. If you get the chance, read the whole chapter and everything that is involved with that. I could tell you about the outstanding qualities of Deborah and what that means today and the inspiration that she is, especially to women and how God works and ministers through all the ladies and women that do so much for God. I could talk about the fact that Barak said, "Yeah, I'm going to go, but I'm only going to go if you come with me." I kind of left that part out. And she said, "Well, yeah, well, you could do that. But the glory is going to happen with a woman to be able to accomplish this." And that particular time, I guess that was a big thing. There's so much I could tell you about this. I could tell you about Jael, who was the Kenite woman who ends up taking Sisera and kind of hammering a spike through his forehead. Wow. Hey, the Bible's pretty graphic in some spots. But there's a few things for the sake of what we're talking about I want to pass out to you. I think that the Holy Spirit adds these stories to Scripture because faith moments are extremely important. And I believe that in every faith moment, there are three factors. There is what we call the aggravation factor. There is the intimidation factor. And then there's what I would call the activation factor. Those of you who take notes, this is kind of what I'm talking about. First one is this. There is what is called the aggravation factor. Many times you will not have a faith moment unless there is an aggravation factor. What is an aggravation factor? Well, it is a tiredness of the way things are. It is a Holy Spirit angst, which says things have got to be different. It's an anger. It's a discomfort. It's a discontent. It is something inside of you that haunts you and says, this isn't the way it should be. It is a tiredness of the status quo. For many of us, it is a frustrating fact, and it is a frustration that comes as a result that we have the creator of the universe on our team, and yet we are still stuck here, somehow in some way losing or in subjection to bondage. This is what the situation was here. This shouldn't be this way. Why should these Canaanites be doing everything to us like this? We have God on our side. And this is what Deborah said. It was the aggravation factor. Enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of the way things are. Now, a number of years ago, there was a comedy sketch that was called Jack Handy. I don't know, for those of you who are older, you might remember the Jack Handy dialogues. He had one which basically said this. There was a time when I was younger and I was bullied, and there was a guy who was much bigger than me, and every day he would come and he would demand my lunch money, and so I would give it to him. And there came a time where I got so sick and tired of this that I figured I'm going to fight back. And so what I did is I went and I took karate lessons, and I figured that I was going to show this guy what was for. And so what happened was, I started to take the karate lessons. Then I realized that the instructor wanted me to pay $5 a lesson. And so what I did is I realized that the money that the bully was taking from me was a lot less than the lessons for the karate. So I decided to quit karate. And you know what? I wonder if that's the way we have been sometimes. We are the ones who are saying, I would rather let the bully do his thing, because the price that it's going to pay is a lot greater. At least I think so at that particular time. The aggravation factor. I want to take the cheaper route. What is the thing that God is prompting you to step out in? What is that threshold that says that is enough? No longer. I'm not going to take this. You see, the church goes ahead on aggravation. It doesn't go ahead on comfort. It goes ahead on a Holy Spirit angst. It goes ahead on an indescribable pain that comes from within. A holy discontent is what I heard one person say. That's what causes things to happen. Someone says, I'm going to do something about it. Deborah's discontent has been seen throughout history. You know, Deborah's voice has been said time and time again, it shouldn't be this way. I think that there's more. I think that there's something that God's wanting to do. Bill Miller in London raised up an orphanage which raised thousands and thousands of dollars because he was sick and tired of seeing things the way that they were. We saw documentaries at the film festival, a show called Mully, and it was an African individual who said, I'm sick and tired of seeing these children die on the streets. Martin Luther said, I'm sick and tired of the way things are. Things have got to change. The aggravation factor. The other factor was this, the intimidation factor. Now, the intimidation factor is why many times you don't do anything about the aggravation which is going on. For Deborah and Barak, it was this. There were 900 iron chariots. And we say, well, 900 iron chariots, what difference does that make? Well, at that particular time, that was the upper echelon. This was the highest thing in terms of military advancement. It was very hard to fight against people who were up in an iron cage, fighting down at you while you were fighting up at them. If you look through the book of Judges and through the Bible, you kind of will see advancements in military technology. You'll hear a little bit and a couple chapters more in Judges where it talks about camels. Camels were the big thing. They're able to go ahead. Later on in the Bible, you hear about a catapult system. And so all of a sudden, you will see different levels of warfare along the way. That's true. There will always be new warfare that the devil will throw at you. And every level will have a new devil. And so what is your intimidation factor? What is your Goliath? What is the 900 iron chariots that you're up against? Let me tell you that there will always be a good reason not to step out. Let me just reiterate, I'm not just saying a reason. Many times there will be a good reason not to step out. Maybe it's age, maybe it's health, maybe it's some type of disability, a weakness, a discrimination, an emotional issue. I'm not too sure what that intimidation factor is for you, but there will always be a level of fear and a level of courage which is necessary for a faith moment. There will always be a gut check moment. Very rarely will you ever have all the questions answered. You see, God will always call on you to somehow take a leap of faith despite the fact that there are instances which are there that will come against you. The intimidation factor. Here's the third one. I call it the activation factor. The activation factor is seen in verse 14 of Judges chapter 4, where Deborah goes up to Barak and he says, go. This is the day that the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has the Lord not gone ahead of you? That term go, two letters, pretty ominous, isn't it? Because God kind of tells us to go. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. And there's lots of times where you just kind of hear that whisper in our heart that says, despite the situation, the aggravation, the angst that's in your heart, that it really kind of happens when you actually step out. You see, there's a difference between declared faith and demonstrated faith. There's a difference between speaking out faith and stepping out faith. Many people live on declared faith. It's easy to stand up and give a declaration. It's another to actually get up early and to do the sacrifice. You know, to get up and go to a senior's house and minister, to get up and help lead worship, or to go to Wawanisa to help lead worship, or to after the service go and go into the prisons and minister. And thank you to all those people who I know in our church who have done things like that. You know, you'll always have to, at the end of the day, go. There's a lesson that we're doing in my small group by Kyle Eidelman. It was called Not a Fan, and he has a book, but there's a passage of that lesson where he gives an illustration which goes like this. He says, say I'm leaving somewhere and going on vacation and I've got everything set, and so what I do is I get you to babysit my house and take care of things while I'm gone. And so I write a letter that says, listen, I got some plants that need to be watered, and the garbage, it comes out on Tuesdays. If you could get the garbage out for me, and please, if you could feed the cat and the goldfish, then that would be great. And so you go away for your month, and you say, here's the letter. The letter will give you all the details as to what you need to do. And so you go away for a month and come back. And when you come back, you take a look at your house, and it's in a mess. It's shambles. And the garbage is heaped high, and it's seeping, and it's stinky, and it's smelly, and the grass is not cut, and the dogs, there's a dog and a cat cemetery in your front lawn. They just never ever got fed, and you had your goldfish is kind of in a bowl, and he's kind of lying upside down, and you're just kind of sitting there. So what happened? Did they not watch the letter? And they came up to you and they said, hey, listen, the letter that you wrote was absolutely tremendous. We read that letter all the time. As a matter of fact, we formed a small group of people. And when we form this small group of people, we go and we talk about that letter all the time. It is so inspirational. Now, what would be your response? Your response would be, well, depart from me, you evil person. You the letter told you what to do, and you didn't do it. And that kind of speaks to my heart. That we need to be people who step out, not just speak out. Hebrews 11:32 says this, and what shall I say? Do I have time to tell you about Gideon? It mentions Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and it goes on to mention all these prophets who did these things in faith. Here's my question to you. Why does it mention Barak in the Hall of Faith and it doesn't mention Deborah? You ever thought of that? Like, Deborah was the reason that it kind of went ahead. Here's why I think that Barak is in the Hall of Faith and Deborah's not. It's one thing to make a declaration as to what God is wanting us to do. It's another to stand in the middle of a valley with 900 iron chariots coming down on you. You know, we are all very good at declared faith. How good are we at demonstrated faith? Because that's an important thing. If you are going to have a faith moment, you will have to eventually step out in faith. So those are the three factors. If there was going to be a fourth one, it would be revelation factor. Is the fact that as you read that passage of scripture, it never really tells you how they won. It doesn't really tell you. Like, it was kind of an impossible situation. How exactly did this happen? Well, if you read on in the next chapter, which is called the Song of Deborah, it gives you a clue. It talks about how there was a flash flood, there was a rain, something had taken place. And so what had taken place was it seemed like this flash flood had happened, and if all of a sudden you have an iron chariot and it's in soggy, muddy thing, it becomes absolutely useless. And so there's no indication that they knew that was going to happen. It just kind of happened out of the blue. Here's the thing with steps of faith. Many times God won't give you the blueprint. Many times he won't tell you how he's going to do it. He doesn't need your advice on how to do it. All he does is he asks you to step out. And so that is the challenge for us. Don't refuse to show up to the game. And don't refuse to step out just because God doesn't give you the game plan. You will miss out on some of the most exciting episodes of your life. So there you are, the faith factor. If you're going to get from one place to another, you got to set sail. You can't sit there with the anchor in your boat. You can't sit there and drift thinking that somehow you will get there. You can't just sit there. Bethel, we can't just sit around expecting something to happen. God is calling us to faith moments. You might be in the midst of your family and you're going through crisis. This is a faith moment. You might be up in your business with some of the things that are taking place. This is a faith moment, a time to stand up and say, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't have the resources. It is beyond myself. And you can kind of sit there and fret about the whole thing, or you can maybe stand up and have a faith moment. Can I pray for you? I think these are important times. God, I just pray for every individual who hears this message. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will surpass my voice so that they will hear the word of God and the challenge through scripture that will somehow speak to their heart at this particular time. God, help us to be men and women of faith. Help us to be young people of faith. I pray for the presence and the touch and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon each and every individual. And over these next few weeks, oh God, help us to stand up, rise up, Father, and be the men and women of God that you want us to be. Speak to our hearts, God. Make us bold, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We will see you online and do everything we can to connect to you. Have a great day. God bless. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.